Copyright 2011, JKP, Radha Madhav Dham. All rights reserved.
Swami Nikhilanand is a disciple of Jagat Guru Sri Kripaluji Maharaj. He resides at Radha Madhav Dham in Austin, Texas, which is the U.S. ashram of Jagat Guru Kripalu Parishad. He travels America preaching the philosophy of Sanatan Dharma as taught by Sri Kripaluji Maharaj. In this series, he introduces the philosophy of the Bhagavatam and explains how the Bhagavatam is the essence of all the Vedas and Upanishads and is beyond the philosophy of the Gita.
Radhe Radhe to everyone. We can close our eyes for the Vandana. Barha Pidam Natavar Vapuh Karnayo Karnikaram Vibhradvasah Kanak Kapisham Vaijayanti Chamalam Randhra Sudhaya Purayan Gopavrindair Vrindaranyam Swapadramanam Pravishad Gita Kirti Aho Vakiyam Stanaka Yadapyasadhvi Lebhe Gatim Dhatri Uchitam Tato Cha prahinoti tasmai tagmanha devamatma buddhi prakasham mumukchurvai sharanamaham prapadye. Prem pipasu jan. We'll do a few minutes of Nam Sankirtan, and after that we'll have the conclusion of this series on the Bhagavatam.
जो गिरिधर
चितवन बिहारी लाल की। This week has been an introduction to the Bhagavatam. So along the way, I've explained what is the Bhagavatam, how does it fit into the system of our Sanskrit scriptures. And we learn that the Bhagavatam is eternal, just like all of the Hindu scriptures. But that it has a special place. Not only is it the Mahapuran, but it is the essence of Vedas, Upanishad, Gita, Darshan Shastras. It's the essence of all of our scriptures. So this is why Vallabhacharya said that although the Vedas are the basis and the foundation for all the knowledge of Hinduism, the Bhagavatam is the final authority. If you want to know, is something right, is it wrong, is it this or is it that, you go to the Bhagavatam. Because the Bhagavatam re-clarifies everything. It brings everything together. Like, I gave you a few examples along the way. We've been getting some glimpses of the philosophy of the Bhagavatam, like the description of the different avatar of God. That's nicely brought together, all in one place in the Bhagavatam. Most Puranas focus on one or a few avatar. Bhagavatam brings it all together and explains the interrelationships between them and how Krishna is Supreme God. It also did the same thing with the different divine attainments, telling that there are five kinds of mukti. One is merging in formless God, and the other four types have to do with the personal form of God. But that there's something even beyond that, that you can attain the divine love of God, Shri Krishna's prema, premanand. And that is the topmost desired thing. So the Bhagavatam clarifies all of these issues. It explains the entire process of creation, creation of the universe, creation of each individual Brahmand, the cycles of time, the different types of pralay. We got glimpses of all of this philosophy of Sanatana Dharma as it's presented in the Bhagavatam. We've been doing that throughout the week. So today I want to finish by taking up the topic of Dharma. Dharma is a very important word. Sanatana Dharma is the original name for Hinduism. So, what is the Dharma described in the Bhagavatam? Right in the beginning, the very first chapter, I mentioned this earlier, that Bhagavatam starts with Shaunakadik Paramahans, Shaunak, and many other, hundreds of other Paramahansas, Jnani Paramahansas, who have attained formless God. They're doing a 1,000-year-long yajna. And Sutji Maharaj comes into that yajna. Just comes. He can go anywhere he wants. He's a great divine saint. He comes, sits. They give him a proper place to sit. And they take advantage of his being there by asking him some questions. And in response to those questions, he tells them the Bhagavatam. So their first question was, Suchi Maharaj, you know all the scriptures, you have studied all the Puranas, you've studied all the Darshan Shastras, you've studied Vedas, Upanishads, you've studied everything that's been written about all those scriptures by all the great saints. You're the knower of all of that. So, with all of this knowledge, can you please clarify something for us? Tell us, what is the sure and easy path for the souls of Kaliyuga? The path to Shreya, this is the word they used. Tell us the easiest path for the souls of Kaliyuga to get Shreya. There are two words introduced in our Vedas, Shreya and Preya. Shreya means your ultimate good. It means something you get and it makes you perfectly happy forever. So that means obviously attaining God. Preya means any kind of temporary happiness or temporary even great thing that you get. If it's material, it's temporary. So it's preya. they're asking for the sure and simple path to attain Shreya, a soul's ultimate good. So, before Sutji answered, Shaunakadik added a little bit more, saying that, you know, Sutji Maharaj, it's Kaliyug, and in Kaliyug, the souls, for one thing, the people, the souls born in Kaliyug, they don't live as long. They are, he used the word mandamati, and their mind becomes slow, they have less mental capacity to remember or understand things. He said they become alasi, they become lazy. They don't have much interest in doing anything that requires too much effort. So he's telling, he's giving the qualities of the path. Don't tell me some path that takes a lot of effort or great intellect to understand. Tell me the path that even these souls of Kaliyug can understand and follow. He said, they went on to say there are so many scriptures and a person doesn't even have the time to study all of those scriptures. And even if he could, one scripture says one thing, another scripture says another thing, how would he reconcile all of that in his mind? So, Sutji Maharaj, you know all of that, so you please tell us the sar. What is the sure and easy path for all the souls of Kaliyug to attain Shreya? So he answered in one verse. Savai punsam paro dharmo yato bhaktiradho kshaje ahaitukya pratihata yayatma samprasidati. He said, whatever increases your bhakti, whatever gives you bhakti in your heart, yato means jo, yataha means jo, bhakti radho kshaje, whatever makes you get more bhakti in your heart. He says, sa, that thing, vai, means definitely only. Punsam, for a soul, paraha dharma. He used the word dharma, but he used par. Par means param. The supreme dharma is that which gives you bhakti in your heart. And that bhakti should be ahaituki and apratihata. Such bhakti will give you the thing which will make your soul happy forever. Yayatma samprasidati. Ahaituki means no worldly demand from God. You do bhakti with a desire to get divine happiness, to meet God, to get His divine knowledge, His divine bliss, His divine love, to meet Him, have His divine vision. Those desires are okay, but no worldly desire. Ahaituki. And apratihata means unbroken, continuous. Because bhakti means love, so if you love someone, you love them all the time. You don't just have a formal love for them. Like, sometimes when we practice bhakti, it becomes more formal. Like, I get up in the morning and I do 1 hour of bhakti, and after that, Krishna, I forget you for the rest of the day. And then before I sleep again, I do some bhakti. So that's a formal kind of bhakti. That's not apratihata. That means it's broken. I just have some time set aside. So that time set aside is good and it's very important. But if you really love someone, they're always in your heart and you remember them all the time. So that is real bhakti. It should be selfless with no selfish desire from Krishna. And you should love Him all the time. He should always be in your mind just like the people that you love in this world. You might say, oh, it's so hard. How am I going to remember Krishna all the time? The people that you're most attached to in this world, you never forget. You might not be consciously remembering them, but they are in your heart. That connection remains. You feel a love for them 24 hours a day. So that's apratihata. Such bhakti is paradharma. There's another place later in the third skand where Kapil Bhagwan, another dissension, one of the 22 avatar of God, told in the Bhagavatam, he's explaining the Sankhya to his mother, Devahuti. And he tells her, एतावानेव लोकेस्मिन् पुंसाम् निःश्रेयसोदयः तीव्रेण भक्तियोगेन यतो मय्यर्पितं स्थिरं मनो मय्यर्पितं स्थिरं. He says the only true commitment, or you can say the highest responsibility of a soul living in this world, is to tivrena, right away, quickly, bhakti yogena, through bhakti, manaha mayarpitam sthiram. He should surrender his mind to me. Kapil is a descendant of God, so essentially he's saying to Krishna, sthiram. So establish your mind in Krishna through loving remembrance, through bhakti. He says that is the foremost duty of a soul. That's why in that verse I quoted before, Suchi Maharaj called it paradharma. Your supreme dharma is to love Krishna. That's the foremost duty of a soul. Most of us probably never thought of it as a duty. That's why we put all the worldly things first. We put all the worldly things first because those are our duties, and loving Krishna, doing bhakti, that comes after that. Bhagavatam clarifies this by saying there are two kinds of dharma. There's paradharma, your supreme dharma, your foremost duty, and there's aparadharma, like a preliminary duty or physical duties in the world, but not your ultimate duty. Sutji Maharaj goes on to say that if someone follows all of his preliminary duties, dharma swanushthita punsam vishvaksena kathasuya notpadayed yadiratim shrama eva hi kevalam. He says if someone swanushthita dharma, he follows all of his duties, meaning the aparadharma, his physical duties in the world, he follows all of that completely with great effort. It's a great thing if somebody does that. But he says, na utpadayet yadi ratim, if you don't get rati in your heart, love in your heart for Krishna, then shrama eva hi kevalam. It's just parishram. It's a laborious effort on your part that will bear no fruit. So, Bhagavatam clarifies that this word dharma actually indicates two main things, your paradharma and your aparadharma. And the reason for this is that we are two. There's a slogan in India, hum do hamare do. So hum do kaun? Ek atma, ek sharir. Aur hamare do kaun? Ek bhagwan, ek sansar. To atma ke liye bhagwan aur sharir ke liye sansar. Is sansar mein vyapt bhagwan hai aur hamare sharir mein vyapt hum hai. Hamari atma hai. To for our soul, which is vyapt in the body, there's Bhagwan who's vyapt in the world. And for our body, which is pervaded by the soul, there's the world, which is pervaded by God. So it's very simple math. Sidha, sidha ganit hai. So simple. Nothing in this world is for your soul, but your soul inhabits this physical body. So you have to follow some rules in order to maintain your body as well. Everything. Sab kuch niyam se chalta hai. Ye pure jagat mein, nothing could survive without rules. If we eliminated all the social rules, this world would would be destroyed within 12 hours. Nothing would be left. It's through that fear of being punished that people refrain from doing bad things. Most people. Some people will refrain just because they know it's wrong. But you see, you know, if the power goes out for a few hours in Manhattan, what happens? People start looting. The jails get filled up in the matter of a few hours. So even here in America, where we're supposedly civilized, this is what we do when we get the chance. So rules are very important. We need rules in the world to maintain harmony. And those rules are all part of aparadharma. By following the aparadharma, we maintain harmony in the world. So there are rules of dharma for the family. There's rules of dharma for the society. There are also some religious formalities that we do which are considered part of that dharma, meaning something aside from just loving Krishna. If we're doing any other ritual or formality with some kind of worldly desire, for instance, then that's still a good action. So you can say it's part of the aparadharma. There are some other, you know, karmakand, some yajnas and other Vedic rituals that people adhere to or observe. And this is all good karma. So it's part of aparadharma. But what is the most that that can give you is a healthy body, if you follow the rules for physical health, harmony in the family and in society, if you follow those rules and everybody follows those rules, some peace of mind, which you get from being a good person or doing good things and helping others, but you're still caught under Maya in the cycle of birth and death. And the highest you could go is Swarg. And Swarg is also under Maya. Even the devtas, like Indra, they desire to be born as human, because as human we can go beyond where they are. We can follow the paradharma and we can attain Krishna. So we can go far beyond what the celestial gods and goddesses have. So by following aparadharma, that's good. We have to follow the rules of society and for physical health. But if someone is only doing that and ignoring devotion to Krishna, then shrama eva hi kevalam. They don't get the real benefit of being human, because as a human you could have attained Krishna. You could have become one of his loving ones and gotten to join his eternal parikar and taken part in his leelas, in his divine abode. So, Bhagavatam clarifies this, that our ultimate duty is to get divine happiness for our soul, and the rest is actually incidental. Why do we have a physical body? So that we can do devotion to Krishna and attain Him. That's it. That's the only reason He gave us this body. Deha dhare karayah phal bhai bhajiya ram sab kaam bihai. So the ultimate duty, the supreme dharma of a soul is bhakti, according to the Bhagavatam. Now Sutji Maharaj went on to describe some more. He says, Shushrushoh Shraddhanasya Vasudeva Katharuchi Syan Mahatsevaya Viprah Punyatirtha Nishevanat. This is a very important description of what happens on the path of bhakti, the steps. So he's starting from the very beginning. He's saying, what if someone doesn't even understand anything and doesn't even have a desire for God? He says, that person, if he serves a God-realized saint. So that's not someone like me who can give a speech about Bhagavatam or sing some kirtan. That means someone who's actually attained God, had the divine vision of Krishna. If you serve such a personality, a God-realized saint, he says, first of all, Shushrushroha, a desire to understand will come. To understand what's the meaning of my life. Before even that wasn't there, but the person faithfully served that saint. So that satsang, that divine association of that God-realized saint had that effect that it created a desire in that person's heart to learn about God. Who is Krishna? Who am I? What's my relationship to Krishna? What's the goal of my life? Why am I here? All that desire to know that comes. So then he's qualified to hear and understand the philosophy from that saint. Then, Shraddhadhanasya. Shraddha doesn't just mean faith. Yes, it means he's going to develop faith in God and faith in the hope of finding God in this life. But also Shraddha means bhook. Now he has a desire for God. When you understand who Krishna is and how are you related to him, then the next natural progression of that is you desire to meet him. That's called Shraddha. That's step two. Step three, Vasudeva Katha Ruchi. Now that you have a desire to meet Krishna, just like you feel hungry, you have bhook, so what's the next obvious thing? You desire to eat. So desire to eat means desire to do devotion, desire to do bhakti. You want to reach Krishna, so the next obvious thing is I want to do whatever I have to reach him. So a desire to hear his leelas comes in the mind. Hear his leelas, think about him. All of this comes through the grace of that saint. Suchi Maharaj goes on to say, Shrinvatam svakatham Krishna punya shravana kirtana hridyanta stho hyabhadrani vidhunoti suhritsatam. He says, now you've gotten to this stage and you start listening to Krishna's leelas. So first, you serve the saint. Through that association, you had a desire, you got jigyasu, to understand the spiritual philosophy. Then you got a desire to attain Krishna. Then you had a desire because of that to hear his leelas. So you started hearing his leelas. So punya shravana kirtana. Those leelas are punya. They have a purifying effect on the heart. So if you do shravan, the kind of shravan where it goes in your ear and it enters your heart, then it purifies your heart. Kirtan. If you do kirtan, the kind of kirtan which means it's coming from your heart. You're singing from the heart. This is Krishna's name. These are his leelas I'm singing. Then, hyabhadrani. Your heart purifies, which means those worldly desires which are so strong and so deep in the heart, Krishna himself starts removing them. Hridyaha antaha. Staha. Krishna comes and resides in your heart. So you're hearing his leelas, you're singing them with devotion. What happens? Because of that, Krishna himself takes up residence in your heart and he starts cleaning it. And in the process, vidhunoti means he's cleaning it, and the bhadrani, it means those really strong worldly desires. Like people say, how can I give up desires for the world? I can't stop desiring this world. I desire the world more than I desire Krishna. So Sutji is saying, all you have to do is keep making use of those leelas. Do shravan and kirtan of those leelas faithfully with a desire to meet Krishna one day. Krishna is going to come and take up residence in your heart, and he's going to clean out those worldly desires. Those worldly desires are a form of impurity in the heart, but we cannot remove them on our own. In fact, they'll only multiply and become more stubborn if we try to think, no, I can't desire that thing. That's ineffective. It's much more effective just to love Krishna by remembering his leelas. He'll start removing those desires as long as your devotion is sincere. You're really doing the devotion with a desire to meet him one day. He's going to start removing those desires for you, all those worldly desires.
Nashta prayeshva bhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavatyuttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishthiki.
So the effect of that, as Krishna's cleaning out your heart, and you keep bhagavata sevaya nityam, you're always remembering the leelas of Bhagavatam in your heart. What happens is bhakti becomes naishthiki in your heart. You develop a solid and firm bhakti. In this case, bhakti means bhav bhakti. See, the act of remembering the leela is sadhana bhakti. That's your effort to engage your mind in remembering Krishna. And what you get in return from him is that he removes your worldly desires and attachments, and he gives you bhav, which means real love for him in your heart. In the beginning, when you think of the leelas, there might not be that much thrill or excitement. But the more you do it, you actually start feeling the heart melt. Some sattvic bhav might start showing in your body, like a thrill in the heart, goosebumps, even trembling, tears. That kind of thing actually comes. And these are the signs that true bhakti is starting to dawn in your heart. This is called bhav bhakti. And it's a gift from Krishna and from that God-realized saint whom you've made your guru. So this is the process of devotion, the step-by-step evolution of bhakti in your heart, as described by Sutji in this chapter. He also says,
Vasudeve bhagavati bhakti yoga prayojitah janayat Yashu vairagyam jnanancha yadahaitukim.
Another effect of the bhakti, you keep doing devotion like this, you do the bhakti yoga, what happens is Krishna gives you the bhav bhakti, and that is an actual experience. So the more you experience the true bliss of those leelas, the happier you feel, the more satisfied you feel and contented on the inside. And vairagyam. So you start to be less attached in the world. This is real vairagya. Naishthiki bhakti and naishthiki vairagya. The kind of vairagya where you just forcefully give something up outwardly, but from inside you're still desiring it, that usually doesn't last long. But when from inside you actually stop desiring that thing, that's a true miracle. And that's the miracle of bhakti. It's only possible through bhakti. These worldly desires cannot be defeated in any other way. And jnana, the second thing. Remember, we learned that jnana and vairagya are the sons of bhakti. This is why. When you do bhakti and you get the real experience of bhakti, vairagya follows automatically, and so does jnana. See, the jnana you're getting from me here, that's not real jnana. That's preliminary jnana. It's just a theoretical understanding. What's real jnana? When you experience the thing that I'm talking about. And how do you get the experience? You do bhakti. Krishna comes and resides in your heart. He cleans it. You start experiencing bhav. Now you're experiencing the actual thing which is being described in the Bhagavatam. It's not just an intellectual idea. You are starting to experience it. So to that extent, you're getting real jnana. So jnana is also a product of bhakti, as is vairagya. So you keep doing bhakti. The practice of bhakti doesn't change. That's the beauty of it. Remember, this is for the souls of Kaliyug. So what's hard about remembering Krishna's leelas in the Bhagavatam? There's so many of them. Then add in all of Surdasji's leelas, Haridasji's leelas, Kripaluji Maharaj's leelas. This is an expansion of the material that was given to us in the Bhagavatam. We have all of that. Out of that, everybody can find something to their liking. There is so much variety. So you find that thing, whether it's Sakya Bhav Leelas or Vatsalya Bhav or Madhurya Bhav, Gopi Bhav Leelas, you find that which appeals to you and you remember it. You do Shravan of it, you do Kirtan of it, you do Smaran of it. You keep doing that for your whole life. There's no change, like you get to a certain level in your bhakti, so now you have to adopt another practice. No, it's the same thing for your whole life. And even a child can do it. It's like hearing a story and remembering it. But these are not stories. These are actual leelas. And these leelas are always happening. They're visible to divine eyes, but they're also available to us because they're kept there in the Bhagavatam. So we can hear them, remember them, and through that purify our heart. So it's so easy for the souls of Kaliyug to do bhakti, because of Krishna came and he revealed all of those leelas for us. So this is the easiest path for all the souls of Kaliyug, the sure and simple path to attain Shreya, Sutji Maharaj is describing. And he says, finally, if you keep doing this for your whole life, Bhidyante Hridayan Granthish Chidyante Sarvasanshaya Kshiyante Chasya Karmani Drishta Evatmanishvare. He says you get the divine vision of Krishna. When your heart becomes fully purified, that's the moment that your devotion, your bhakti has become perfect and Krishna reveals himself to you. He gives you divine eyes, just like he gave to Arjuna. But instead of revealing himself in his almighty form, he'll come to you in his loving form as Krishna, and you'll get to take part in his leelas. You'll join in. With whatever bhav you did bhakti, you'll get that relationship with him eternally. And bhidyate hridaya granthish. The knot of mayic ignorance will be broken forever. That knot of mayic ignorance is eternal. It means we really believe I'm this body and everything in this world belongs to me. It's like we're in a slumber of ignorance, yet to wake up. So that ignorance is gone forever. The veil of Maya is finished. The effect of Maya on us is destroyed forever. All of our doubts are finished. And chiyante chasya karmani. We have an account of past actions. How many actions? Unlimited, from unlimited past lifetimes. So that past stock of actions is called sanchit karma. Chiyante. It's completely destroyed forever. So your bondage of karma is finished. Bondage of maya finished. The moment you get the divine vision of Shri Krishna. Sutji Maharaj described all of this right there in the first chapter of the first canto of the Bhagavatam. Near the end of this chapter he says, Vasudeva para veda, Vasudeva para makha, Vasudeva para yoga, Vasudeva para kriya, Vasudeva param jnanam, Vasudeva param tapah, Vasudeva paro dharmo, Vasudeva para gati. He says, Vasudev, Krishna, is the paragati. He's the ultimate refuge and the ultimate goal of all the souls. Therefore, everything is to bring a soul to him. Para Veda, all the Vedas are to just take a soul to Krishna. That's it. Krishna said that. Dharmo yasyam madat makah. He told Uddhava later in the Bhagavatam that what I taught in the Vedas, what I revealed in the Vedas is dharma. And that dharma is that through which a soul comes to me. That is dharma, a simple description of dharma. That through which a soul comes to Krishna is dharma. And that is all that the Vedas are for. Sarve Vedayat Padamamananti Ved says every mantra in the Vedas is directing a soul towards Krishna. Vasudeva Paramakha, all the rituals are only to discipline a person's mind so that they can do devotion. Vasudeva Para Yoga, yoga is also only to help a person control their mind so that they can then engage that mind in devotion to Krishna. Vasudeva Para Kriya, all the good actions are only to bring a person towards Krishna. Vasudeva Param Jnanam, all the jnana of all the scriptures and all the teachings of all the saints is only to bring a person towards Krishna. Bhagavatam says, Tat karma haritosham yat sa vidya tan matiryaya. That is a good action which is done to please Krishna. And that is true knowledge which develops love in your heart for Krishna. If it's not done to please Krishna, it's just an ordinary action. And if that knowledge doesn't develop love for Krishna in your heart, then it's actually ignorance. It's not knowledge at all. Vasudeva Param Tapah, all the practices of austerities are only to bring a soul towards Krishna. Vasudeva Paro Dharmo, all the dharmas are only to bring someone towards Krishna because he is the ultimate goal of every soul. So, everything that we do should be done keeping this in mind. The goal of our life is attaining Krishna. This is the paradharma. Everything else has to be in line with that, or else it's a deviation, it's a distraction. Our life is for God realization. Most people don't accept this, so they spend their whole life with something missing inside. What is my life for? I don't feel content. They feel driven, and they are driven. They try in so many different ways to find happiness, not realizing that all the efforts they're making in this world to find love, to have a good family, to succeed in their career, to be respected, to accumulate wealth. Although these things are part of living in this world, they're not the goal of life. So doing them is fine, as long as it's done with this in mind, that the goal of my life is attaining Krishna, and all of this has to be in alignment with that. Otherwise, shrama eva hi kevalam. We don't gain anything. We spend our whole life, and it's all a fruitless effort. So, Bhagavatam clarifies this again and again, that the ultimate goal of a soul is to attain Krishna. There's one place in the 10th canto where it's told that Krishna and Balaram and all the Gwalbals, they were out grazing the cows. And they went far from Vrindavan that day. They went almost all the way to Mathura. And it was very hot. It was like, early summer before the monsoons come, the hottest time of the year. So they got very hot, very hungry. Gwalbals came to Krishna and they said, "You always help us, no matter what happens. Even any Rakshas comes, you save us every time. So please save us from this hunger." So Krishna said, "Here's what you do. Not far from here in Mathura, these Brahmins of Mathura, they're having a big yajna. So go and ask them for some of that food that they're offering in the yajna. They're doing that yajna actually with a desire to attain swar, So just go and ask them for some of that food. Tell them that I sent you. Tell them that you are sent by Krishna and Balaram, and try to bring some of that food back. So the Gwalbals went, and they very respectfully did pranam to those Brahmins, and they told, we've been sent by Krishna and Balaram, and they're hungry, and they're asking, can we bring some of your food to feed them and all of their friends? Those Brahmins didn't even listen. They didn't even stop what they were doing. They completely ignored, almost as if the Gwalbals weren't there. So they were dejected, and they went back to Krishna, and they told him what happened. So Krishna told them, don't worry. If you don't succeed the first time, you don't give up. Living in this world, you meet disappointment many, many times every day. But if it's important, if it's something that needs to be done, you keep trying until you succeed. So he said, you go back there, but this time ignore the Brahmins, ignore the husbands. Their wives are all devotees of me. So go to them and ask them for the food. Tell them that I sent you. So bypassing the Brahmins and their yajna, they went straight into the tent where all the wives were and where all the food was there, all prepared for offering as part of the yajna. So they told them that, Krishna and Balaram are very nearby and they've sent us to ask you for some food. So they were so happy because they'd been hearing about Krishna's leelas, but they'd never gotten to actually see him. So instead of sending food, they picked up that food and they walked out and started going towards Krishna. And their husbands and brothers and father-in-law, mother-in-law, they were all trying to stop them. Hey, what are you doing? Where are you going? Where are you taking that? Ignoring all of them, they went to Krishna. And they were so happy to get to have Krishna's darshan and to serve him like that. So there was some exchange. They got to talk to him. Krishna talked to them. They left the food there for Krishna and they went back. And Krishna, first he fed all of his friends and then he and Balaram also ate. So they went back, and after the yajna was finished, then those Brahmins realized that Bhagwan himself is here asking us for food and ignoring him. We're doing all of this yajna with a desire to get swarg. How foolish are we? And our wives, who are not educated in the Vedas as we are, they have so much more knowledge than we do. Obviously, it's proven by our behavior and their behavior. So they said, dhigjanmanastrividvidyam dhigbratam dhigbahugyatam dhikkulam dhikriyadakshyam vimukhayetvadhokshaje. They said, dhikkar on our noble high birth, dhikkar on our learning, dhikkar on our study of the Vedas, dhikkar on our vrat, dhikkar on all of our rituals and yajnas. Shame on all of this. Shame on us. Our wives are so much greater than we are because they have bhakti in their heart for Krishna, and we, in spite of having all of this, have no bhakti for Krishna. We're turned away from him. Tulsidas ji says in the Ramayana, so sab karma dharma jari jau jahan ram pad pankaj bhau yog kuyog gyan agyanu jahan nahi ram prem pardhanu. That knowledge which is bereft of love for Ram is agyan, it's ignorance. That yoga which does not lead to the mind being established in loving remembrance of Ram is kuyog. And that karma and dharma which does not lead to love for Sri Ram might as well be burnt. So we see how important it is that the first thing is bhakti. Everything else comes afterwards. Svanushthitasya dharmasya sansiddhir haritoshanam. Bhagavatam says all of that effort in following varnashram dharma, the absolute perfection and the goal of doing that, sansiddhi haritoshanam, should be simply to please Krishna. If we're doing all of that without the desire to please Krishna, then we miss the point, we miss the boat. So let's go to later on in the Bhagavatam. We don't have time to study the whole entire Bhagavatam in 1 week, so I'm giving you glimpses so that you get the essence and understanding of what the Bhagavatam teaches. Kind of like if you have a whole pot of rice and you want to know if it's cooked, taste one or two grains. If they're cooked, then the whole thing's done. You don't have to taste the whole thing. So right in the first chapter, I told you this description of dharma and bhakti. Now let's go to the very end, the 12th canto. There's two verses, two important verses. Naishkarmyam apyachyuta bhava varjitam na shobhate jnanamalam niranjanam. This is going to sound very familiar to you. That jnana, even if it's so great that it can give a person knowledge of his own soul, so he has no attachment in this world, he's established in his own soul, he's atma-jnani. Even that great jnana, if it's bereft of devotion to Krishna, can you go up there, press number 1 on the keypad, that'll turn that alarm off. Then, na shobhate. It doesn't give, it's of no value, really. It's not that great of jnana. And, yasha shriya meva parishrama paro. That karma, which is done without love in the heart for Krishna, it may be done with great effort, but if it doesn't lead to bhakti, if it doesn't have bhakti, then it's just all the most it can give you is yash and shri. It can give you a good name, respect, power, wealth, but in terms of the ultimate goal of your life, it doesn't have much value. So we see, no matter where you look in the Bhagavatam, the message is the same. Bhakti is the main thing. Bhakti is supreme. That's your first and foremost duty. The other duties are also important, but they should be done keeping this in mind, that they have to be in alignment with your bhakti. It means they should support your bhakti, not be an impediment to your bhakti. Take the example of those Brahmins doing that yajna. They put the karma and all the rituals and the good actions, they put all of that first, and they put bhakti to Krishna second. And their wives, although they were doing their duty, but they put bhakti to Krishna first and all the other duties second. That is the message of the Bhagavatam. So we, all of us, have two dharmas to follow. Paradharma and aparadharma. But par means first, supreme. Devotion to Krishna is first and foremost. And all the other duties are only there to support our bhakti, maintain harmony in the family and the society so that we can do bhakti. So, what is the form of that bhakti? Shravanam kirtanam Vishno. Smaranam padasevanam archanam vandanam dasyam sakhyamatmanivedanam. Bhagavatam says, although actually there are many types of many types of bhakti described in Bhagavatam. These nine have been given the most important by saints over the centuries. And out of those nine, three are given most importance in the Bhagavatam. Shravanam Kirtanam. Shravan, Kirtan. And the most important, Smaran. Smartavyo Satatam Vishno. Vismartavyo Najatuchit. Always remember Krishna, never forget Him. That is the most important thing. And along with that, these two give support, Kirtan and Shravan. So this is the form of bhakti that Bhagavatam teaches, which I've been sharing with you throughout this whole week. And keep in mind as well that Bhagavatam tells that there are certain characteristics or conditions of bhakti that have to be adhered to. Mano gatira vichinna yatha gangam bhasom budhau lakshanam bhakti yogasya nirgunasya hyudahritam ahaitukya vyavahita yato bhakti radhokchaje ya bhakti purushottame. Four conditions of bhakti. One, it should be done from the mind. Number two, it should be continuous, like a loving flow of thoughts towards Krishna, just like Gangaji flows uninterrupted towards the ocean. Your mind should always be lovingly remembering Krishna. So from the mind, bhakti is done from the mind, condition number one. It should be continuous, nitya nirantar, condition number two. It should be ahaituki, condition number three, no worldly desire, no selfish desire, only divine desires to be with Krishna. And condition number four, avyavahit means be ananya. Don't mix bhakti with anything else. Some people think, although I'm doing Raganuga bhakti as described in the Bhagavatam, but I also have to wake up my kundalini by doing some kundalini yoga. Or, you can do yoga for good health, that's fine, but a kundalini, siddhis, all these other practices, tapasya, any other practice, it has nothing to do with the success of your progress on the path of bhakti. The path of bhakti is supreme and independent, and in fact, Krishna says in the Bhagavatam, that whatever you get by following any other path, the bhakti taught in the Bhagavatam gives all the results of all of those paths without following those paths, whether it's karma, dharma, yoga, jnana, tap, whatever it may be, just by loving Krishna and remembering His leelas, because He comes and resides in your heart, cleans your heart and gives you bhav bhakti. That means you get the result of everything. So you don't have to supplement the path of bhakti with any other practice. For your health is fine. But don't think, I also have to do this. I'm doing bhakti, but I also have to do this other formality or this other practice. No. Avyavahit means karma jnana navritam, in the words of Rupa Goswami. No affiliation of rituals or jnana or yoga, meaning they don't have havi over bhakti. If you have to do it because, someone in the family is doing that and they expect you to do it, but really you're just following the pure path of Raganuga bhakti of Bhagavatam, you can observe some ritual, but it doesn't have havi over bhakti. Even I gave the example of Ekadashi Vrat. That has nothing to do with the bhakti of the Bhagavatam. That's just a formality. That's vaidhi bhakti. You can do it if it helps you remember Krishna. Good. But do it from that point of view, that doing this vrat will help me remember Krishna. The vrat itself does not have priority over bhakti. Bhakti has priority over the vrat. That's what Bhagavatam says. Avyavahit. So these are the conditions, four conditions of bhakti. Man se karo, nirantar ho, ahaituki ho, or ananya ho. Be ananya to the path of bhakti. And also be ananya to Radha and Krishna. Although we respect all the forms of God, but only Radha and Krishna give the bliss of premanand through their loving leelas. So if that's what you want, remember their leelas and do devotion to them while giving full respect to all of their other forms. Because all of those forms are established in them, so if you worship Radha Krishna, you've already worshipped all of their other forms. Like putting water on the root of the tree, you don't also have to sprinkle it on the leaves, do you? So if you worship Radha and Krishna, you have already worshipped all the forms of God. So this is the essence of the Bhagavatam, which I've given to you today. We'll continue further, possibly, probably in April, we'll have part two of this series on the Bhagavatam here at the Vaishno Temple. And until then, hopefully we'll stay in touch. I will be having other satsangs here. But we'll finish today by singing a beautiful leela of Radha and Krishna, a Jhulan leela, described by Kripaluji Maharaj. You can go ahead and pass those up.
Thank you. झूला
Badra Kiri Balihar
लाखू लाली को
फूलन सिंगार
चंद्रिका धार
घूम
to continue on the next page. We won't have time to sing all of these. So, meaning turn to the back of your page.
Kali na ki pag payal chavi dar.
Sukumar लाडली लाल की जय।